I love this church. We haven't met before. My name is Dan Leanne. I'm one of the extended members of the teaching team here at Journey. And it is such a joy to be able to visit every time I get to visit. And I really do mean it. Every single time I come here, I find something else to fall in love with. And I love the thought of a sensory room. How many know Jesus did whatever was required to get the good news to us? And as a people of God, it is incumbent on us to do whatever it is required to get Jesus to absolutely every single person in this part of Florida. So I want to encourage you, if you have someone in your world, someone in your life, someone in your family who would be blessed by that sensory room, make sure they know about Journey Church. There is an option for them and for their family. And for anyone else who doesn't get along to church often, I want to encourage you to invite them along to Journey Church. Maybe even in the next 31 minutes as we engage in the Word of God, if there is someone who comes to mind who needs to come along to church, pull out your phone, send them a text. Those texts will be blessed. All other usage of your phone will be cursed. So I want to encourage you to get as many people involved in the journey. I love this church. I love the West Palm family and the Boynton family. And in between services, if you want to come on out for a hug, I'm here and I'm ready. And I have a really simple word for you today. I was talking to Pastor Scott about this message, and he asked me to share something that is current in my life, a now word, something that I've received from God in this season, and I didn't have to think long or pray long before I came across the stuff that God has been teaching me and my wife this year. It's centering around one simple word, and the word is this: testing. As I reflect on 2025, I'm here to admit it's been a testing year. It's been a good year. It's been a blessed year. It's been a fun year. But it has been a testing year. Anyone resonate with that word? It's been a testing year. And as I reflected on what we've experienced, I felt the Holy Spirit stir a prophetic word for someone here in the room today. And I'm going to believe that as I read it, someone is going to receive it and something is going to shift in your journey starting today. Here's the word that I wrote down. I believe that God wants to bring deep encouragement to a person who's been going through a season of testing. Your family has gone through it. He wants to bring a blessing through the testing. God wants to remind you that He is in the test. He is close. He is present. Silence doesn't mean absence. In fact, He is closer than ever. God wants to let you know that He's heard your questions. Why me? Why now? Why this? How long? Your faith has been challenged. God wants to remind you that He only allows tests that will result in His glory and your eternal good. So Journey Church, sit the test, stay in the test, learn from the test. I want to remind you, God has set you up to pass this test. I'll even say it in American for you. God has set you up to pass this test. Would you turn to a neighbor and let him know you are passing this test or passing this test? Just let him know you're passing the test. Come on, would you turn to another neighbor and let him know, hey, second choice, you're passing this test too. You're passing this test too. It's been a season of testing, but I'm here to remind you, you are passing and passing this test. This word has power here in America and in the British Empire. You are passing and you are passing this test. Let me pray and we'll jump into this word. Dear Jesus, help us pass and pass this test. Amen. I hate tests. I hate seasons of trial. I hate it when life gets challenging because I am not good in tests. I'm a fair weather kind of guy. When everything is going good, I like to go with that flow, but I don't do well with tests. I have never done well in tests. I wasn't good at testing in middle school, didn't do well in high school. I scraped through in college. Every single time I have to face a test, my mind goes blank, my palms go sweaty, I start to tighten up. I have never passed a driving test. I'm 49 years of age. I've been driving for more than 30 years, and standing before you is a guy who has technically never passed a driver's test. Now, I've tested this story a few times, and I've heard feedback that people are questioning the veracity and the authenticity of this story because sometimes preachers will exaggerate and embellish to get a point across. It happens. It's called hyperbole. It's in the Bible. Deal with it, all right? But this is a story that is 100% true. I have never passed a driver's test. In Australia, you have to wait till you're 18 before you can sit for your driver's license. When I was 18, I went for the test, and the first time I sat the test, I sped. I went too fast, they pulled me over, and that's an automatic fail. I had to reschedule for the week after, and I was so nervous, I was so anxious, I was so worried. I failed automatically because I didn't drive fast enough. You can fail a test for going too slow. So too fast, too slow, two failed tests. The third time, now I'm really anxious and I'm trying to drive, I'm trying to concentrate, but my mind is blank, I'm super tight, and in the anxiety and the stress, I ran through a stop sign. The tester pulls me over and asks me if I saw what happened. I said, obviously I didn't, and I ran through a stop sign, and that is an automatic fail. I'm not too proud to admit that I began to cry. I'm not talking about little emotional tears. I'm doing, and I start pleading. I'm saying, I've tried this now a couple of times. I promise you I'm going to be a safe driver. I have never, ever been in a situation where I have been as tight and as worried. I'm so sorry. And because of my begging and my pleading, the tester just gave me my license. So I'm 18 years of age in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm driving around with a license, sitting three tests, but technically never passing one. Fast forward a whole bunch of years, 2017, my family and I moved to Anderson, South Carolina. We want to be here. We love serving here in America. I love being a teaching pastor at a great church called New Spring. I thought everything was going to be fine and rosy until I found out I had to sit another test. They weren't going to just give me another driver's license. I had to sit a South Carolina driver's test. So I'm nervous. The PTSD starts flowing back and I'm going, oh no, how am I going to go in this test? My wife tries to help out by going for her test the day before. Krista has never driven in America before. She goes to a rental car place, hires a Nissan Pathfinder and aces the test. So she comes back and says, babe, it's not that hard. You'll be fine. Not true. Because now she's passed the test. The pressure is increased. I'm visibly shaking before I go to do this driver's test. I don't know why I did it, but I borrowed a friend's convertible Camaro to do the test because there's a parking element, like a reverse parking, parallel parking part of the test, and I'm a terrible parker, so I thought maybe taking the roof off the Camaro would help me with my dimensions, all right? So I get out there, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, there's a tester next to me, this lovely older lady, and we take off from the DMV there in Seneca, and I made my first mistake with my first turn. You see, in Australia, you sit on the right-hand side of the car and drive on the left-hand side of the road. In America, you sit on the left-hand side of the car and you drive on the right-hand side of the road. I'm sitting there at the edge of the parking lot and I pull out and my mind goes blank and I'm back in Australia and I'm driving on the left-hand side of the road. And the only reason I discovered I was on the wrong side of the road is because the tester gasped. So I pull onto the right side of the road and I'm driving along. Did a bunch of other things wrong. There was a time in Australia, you can't turn at a red light ever. If it's a red light, you cannot turn. In South Carolina, is it the same here in Florida? You can turn right at a red light if it's open, okay? So I'm there at the red light and I knew it's a rule. So I'm going in my brain, can I turn left or can I turn right? Can I turn left or can I turn right? It feels right, but it's right left. It's left right. Left, right, left, right. I can turn left. I can. So I pull in. And again, ha! The whole way through this test, I am just messing it up because my brain has gone totally empty. My body was totally seized up. She had a clipboard and she's just, I can just see the cross marks going all the way down the side. We get back into the parking lot and there is a parking aspect to this test. And I don't know how you do it in Florida, but in South Carolina, they've got these like wooden pallets that's built into a contraption that you have to basically pull in between. You can't hit either of the barriers. I hit the back barrier twice and the front barrier once. So here I am, sitting in this Camaro with the roof off. I'm going to have to come back next week to the Seneca DMV and sit this again. I was about to just get out of the car, and then the tester leans over, and she whispers to me. She says, hey, Dan, I go to New Spring Church, and I am so glad that you're here. I love you. Here is a license. So you know what I did? I grabbed that license, I ran in, paid my $35, got my license, but here I am. I have never passed a driver's test. So if you see me rolling, you stop running. You know what I'm saying? I hate tests. How do you go in the midst of a test? How do you go when life tests you? Does it bring out your best? Or do you, like me, sometimes struggle in the midst of a test? Do you find yourself asking questions in the depths of your soul? What's gone wrong? Why me? Why now? How long? How are we going to get through this? Have you been through a test this year? Have you been through a health test, a financial test, a work test, a family test, a kid test? Have you been through a temptation test, an addiction test? What kind of test have you been through? Because if you've experienced a testing season this year, we want you to know a couple of things. Number one, you're not weird. This is par for the course, this side of eternity. And number two, you're not alone. In some way, shape, or form, we have all gone through a test together, and your brother Dan can testify to a testing season too. Because this year has been a series of tests. Every year of my life has its challenges and its trials, but for some reason, this year has felt like one of those one thing after another years. Anyone with me? You know when the wave hits you and your head goes under the water and you come out splashing around like a drowning dog, and then you kind of wait, and then another wave hits you? It's been one of those years. It's been a financial test this year. Every single month, my wife and I have received a major bill we didn't budget for. It's even getting to the point now where when it's happening, we just look at each other and start laughing. The first bill came in January when we discovered that we have septic tanks at our house. Do you know how you discover that you have septic tanks at your house when you didn't know you had septic tanks in your house? We got this little kind of, hey, babe, we got a little water feature in the backyard. What's going on there? Is that oil bubbling up in the backyard? What's babe, are we rich? Are we rich? No, we ain't rich. We're gonna be poor real soon. Because you know how much it costs to fix a septic tank? And that stuff you can't work out on YouTube, you know what I'm saying? And every single month we've been rattled financially. And we are good stewards of our finances. We always keep God first. We have contingency. But this has been just one of those years financially. It has been a challenge physically. We're at that age where stuff is really starting to break down a little bit more. Come on, anyone here with me? Any 49-year-old man, come on, know the feeling of stuff just, you know, things are starting to split and pop a little bit, and I can't go to a doctor's office and come back with a clean bill of health anymore. It's always something a little concerning, but I don't ever hear the word little. I just hear the word concerning. In all seriousness, my wife, she had her annual checkup earlier this year, and she got told that they found some irregularities that's going to cause her to have a lot more scanning. And that scares you. And it causes you to ask questions. We're doing everything right by the book. Why this health test? It's been a test in my family. I know that I've shared with you in the past about some of our green card struggles. Now again, it's all good. It's legal. So stop. Don't be... Put your phone away. Stop texting the hotline. Like, so we're good, all right? Bro, chill. And we're waiting and we're hoping and we're trusting and we're believing. But 2 months ago, my daughter was proposed to. She got engaged. It was horrible. You got a punk coming to your house and steal your daughter and you clapping about it? And then they're going to send you the bill for it? No. But it's been testing. You know what it's like to sit down with your daughter and let her know that she might not be able to get married because you're not allowed to change your marital status until we work out what's happening with the green cards? You know what it's like to pray about something every single day and feel like nothing is changing? We've had one of those years. You've had one of those years. And I believe that the Word of God speaks. Can someone say a good amen to that? Amen. Because in the midst of the testing, I reach out to a mentor of mine. I ask him to pray for me. I ask for some advice and some insight. And he shoots me back a text that initially annoyed me. I told him, bro, I'm going through a hard time. Would you be contending with me and praying with me? I'd love a few minutes to just chop it up with you. I've always found it calming throughout my journey, but my friend just sent me a 2-word text message. He just said, that's tough. And then he cuts and pastes a Bible verse and sends it to me. Didn't even have the time to say it in a voice note or to even just type out the words. He goes to his Bible app and copies and pastes and sends it to me. And so he sends me this scripture, and I'm not going to lie to you, when I first saw it pop up on my phone, I kind of was a little annoyed. But then as I looked at this verse, I felt the Holy Spirit so clearly say that I know this verse, I can recite this verse, I've read it countless times, I've preached it numerous times, but I have never applied it like I need to apply it now. And so what I want to do in my remaining 13 minutes and 52 seconds with you is I want to read you this scripture, and I'm believing in the name of Jesus that if you've been through a testing season, you're walking away different and you are passing or passing this test. If you have your Bibles, would you go with me to a well-known scripture? Go with me to a well-known scripture. James chapter 1, verse 2 through to 4. This is what my buddy texted me. James chapter 1, verses 2 through to 4. Hey, consider it pure joy. Rough start. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials, of many kinds, because you know, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. What? Consider it pure joy. Some verses or versions will interpret that as count it all joy. Or in other words, when the math is all mathed, you will see the net result of this testing season that you're going through as pure joy. I don't know about you, but when I think about pure joy, I don't think about a testing season. When I think about pure joy, I'm thinking about a quiet Saturday night with nothing to do, sitting by the pool with my wife, with a couple of cool drinks, with some college football in the background. That's my pure joy. I don't know what your pure joy is, but my pure joy imagination doesn't take me to tests in my health or tests in my finances or tests in my family unit. But the Bible says here, when you net it out, when you do the math, when all of the accounts are finalized, you will see that the season of testing equated to pure joy. Why? How? Well, very simply, what the Bible is saying here is that God is doing something very unique through the test. And if you lean into the test and don't run away from the test, or don't numb yourself through the test, or point fingers at others as you sit the test, if you let God do what He alone can do through the test, you come out the other side with a big smile on your face going, wow, you did something that I could not have experienced in any other environment. So here's the question, because I can hear you asking it. Okay, big Asian guy who obviously does a lot of bench press in the gym, but not many squats. How? How do I redeem this test? What is he doing through the test? How do I get to count this all joy as I go through this test? What is he doing through this test? What are some faith declarations that I can make or my family can make as we stand in the midst of the test? Well, three things I've learned this year. Number one, this test is revealing. This test is revealing something in my life that needs to be seen. Every test is ordained by God, governed by God, framed by God with a very deliberate desire to reveal something in your life. That's the reason in verse 3 it says, there is a testing of your faith. Your faith is being revealed. And as a friend, can I tell you, there is nothing more important this side of eternity than your faith and the veracity and the authenticity of your faith being revealed. Because faith is the basis of your relationship with God. As clear as a phone ringing in a quiet room, He's letting you know that faith is what keeps you afloat in the ocean of life. That faith is what gives you power to move forward and move mountains. And ultimately, at the end of the day, only three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. We need to have the reality and the authenticity of our faith revealed, because there are some things in life that you can get through with a fake version of. If I lined you all up at the end of the morning and you had you walk past, hey, I'm gonna have a bunch of people because I'm out here in Southern Florida. I know I'm gonna see a lot of nice bags going out, okay? We're gonna see some nice Gucci bags going out. But here, this is the reality, all right? Not every Gucci bag is that Gucci. You know what I'm saying? God, Gonna have a lot of Louis Vuitton out there, a lot of Louis Vuitton, you know? But a lot of those Louis Vuitton was made kind of, you know, where my ancestors came from, you know what I'm saying? It's like the Louis Vuitton. Very different. But at the end of the day, doesn't make much difference. If you want to roll with a Louis Vuitton or a Louis Vuitton, like, it's up to you. The veracity and the authenticity of that bag really, in the grand scheme of things, means nothing. But you can't get through life with a fake faith. That fake faith is not the foundation of a real friendship with the God of this universe. That fake faith cannot keep you afloat when the waves start to crash. And that fake faith, at the end of the day, will not save. And God allows testing in our life because it reveals the substance of your faith. Because as you go through the testing, you get to observe what you cling to, what you hold to, what you hope will keep you afloat. And if you've gone through a season of testing and it is revealed that the thing that you hold to closest or hardest is your skill or your ability, your experience, your resources, your connections, if that has been revealed, smile big. Because God has saved you a lot of pain and invited you into a lot of joy. Because what's happening through the test is the authenticity and the veracity of your faith is being revealed. You want your faith tested. The more important the thing in your journey, the more important that is tested. That's the reason every time I get on a plane and I hear the captain speak to me, I'm hoping that I'm hearing someone that sounds like they've got their life together. What I don't need is someone to get onto onto the intercom or into the microphone, the pilot go, "Hey guys, it's gonna be a wonderful day to fly today. You guys are really lucky. This is my first flight." It's amazing the kind of degrees you can get on Grand Canyon University, just online. Guys, it's amazing what kind of flight tests you can pass with ChatGPT. ChatGPT can, you know what? I don't want a ChatGPT pilot. I want someone who has sat the test. In fact, where are my veterans in the room? Where are my veterans? Give me a wave. Where are my veterans at? Come on, it's Veterans Day weekend. We put our hands together. You know what I love more than anything? When I'm on a plane, when the pilot goes, "Hey, I'm a veteran. I'm an Air Force veteran." I love that thought, you know what I'm saying? You've saved people, you've sacrificed in the air, and now you're out here trying to save and sacrifice for me. I love that feeling. The more important the role, the more important the testing. And what God is doing through the test is He is taking time to reveal something about your faith. And it's not to hurt you or to harm you. It's here to help you and maybe even save you. So He's revealing something through the test. Number two, He is strengthening you through the test. He is strengthening you through the test. How do we know this? Because the Bible says in verse 3 that as your faith is tested, it produces perseverance. What's this word perseverance mean? Perseverance in the Greek has two root words. It's hupomone. Hupa means under. Mone means weight. Or in other words, as you go through the test and you let God do what He wants to do through the test, you're staying under weight. And when you stay under that weight, you get stronger. Give me a wave if you're a gym bro. Where are my gym bros at? Where are my gym people? You're a gym bro. I know, even though you're a girl, you're a gym bro. I could tell. You were giving crazy gym. I'm walking around there, I felt the gym bro aura just coming from that hole because you got the sweats. You've already worked out twice today. I love it. How old are you? You're 28. So you're a real gym bro. Where are my sub 18-year-old gym bros? Where are my under 18-year-old gym bros? We got one over here. I love it. Under 18 gym bros. I love my under 8. Bro, you got to listen to me, all right? Right now, here's the best piece of advice I can give you as a young gym bro. You don't know nothing yet. I don't care what you learn on TikTok. TikTok be lying to you, all right? I don't care about your YouTube influencer kind of people that you be watching. Those are all fake weights, all right? I want to just say this to all my young gym bros here in this room. Everyone just needs to chill out a little bit. Chill out a little bit. You don't need to be sucking down on that monster, like kind of energy drink while you're working out. It's too late. You need to get that caffeine in way before that. And number two, you got to start light, bro. You got to start light. Don't be lifting crazy heavy weight right away. You're going to hurt something. Because all the old gym bros and gym broettes know in the room that if you learn how to lift lightweight, what you get to do is you get to lift heavier weight. And when you get heavier weight and you lift that right, then you get heavier weight again. This is what happens through the test. Your faith is being revealed and God is apportioning perfect weight on your soul for a season of time. And if you don't run through it, anesthetize yourself from it, blame your way through it, pretend it isn't happening. If you lean into that weight, what happens is your soul gets stronger. Your faith gets stronger. And the reason you need that is because I cannot guarantee you that life will get lighter. But the Bible does guarantee that your soul can get stronger. I don't know what God wants me to carry at 59, but I do know that what I'm going through right now at 49 is going to set me up to carry whatever comes my way. Can someone say a good amen to that? The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And finally, the Bible says, let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's the third thing we're declaring. So number one, this test is revealing. Number two, this test is strengthening. And number three, this test is maturing. This has been the game changer for the Leanne family in 2025 when it comes to the area of testing. When you finally recognize that God is infinitely more committed to your maturity than your comfort, then testing makes sense. For if you continue to hold on to this erroneous, dare I say, even immature belief that God is just ultimately committed to our comfort, then testing will never make sense. Now, full disclosure, I wish God was just totally committed to my comfort. You know what I'm saying? I don't like this fact. I wish God was sitting in heaven just watching down and going, I wonder how I can just make Dan's life more comfortable and just sprinkle blessings on him and have. I wish God was like that, but he's not like that. You know why? Because he's a good dad. And good dads know that they have only achieved if they get to push a kid out into the world mature and ready. And when you finally get that deep into your soul, no matter what you're going through, no matter how dark the night, no matter how bitter the pill, no matter how long the valley, when you understand that every season of testing he allows you to go through is for the purpose of your maturity, it makes all the more sense. I promise you that. Every good dad knows that's how we know we've achieved. My daughter, Caitlin, went to Italy for the summer. She's an art student. She wanted to go on a study abroad trip. She wanted to go look at Michelangelo's over in Tuscany. I'm saying we can, that's the reason Jesus invented the internet. We can just stay at home. I've never let my girl go away to Europe by herself before, so I'm really nervous. So I made a deal with her. I said, we have to watch the true life documentary, Taken, before I let you go. So we watched the true life documentary, Taken. Have you watched the documentary, Taken, before? It's the true story of what happens when your daughter doesn't listen to your instructions when they go to Europe. The only problem is it backfired and I ended up getting more freaked out than she did. But this was going to be a part of her maturing and her growing. And so she goes off to Italy. We're watching the flight tracker, flight to flight. She's texting in between. Everything is going right. Then 3 a.m. comes around. And my phone rings at 3 a.m. And it's my daughter, Caitlin, and she's crying. I can hear a lot of commotion behind her. And I could make out there were Italian voices in the background. I was about to go, "You're about to be taken. You're going to get about 5 seconds. Yell out everything you can see." You know what I'm saying? The only problem is I have no skills. I have no training. I have no experience. But what had happened is that the party that she was traveling with, she was separated from. They had tickets that were booked all the way from Greenville, Spartanburg to Florence. But her tickets were booked separately. So she had to leave, go through immigration in Rome and recheck in and go through security by herself. So she was broken away from her party. And because she didn't know where she was going, the connecting flight was going to be missed. So my initial reaction was what? Okay, just go to a Delta terminal counter. I'm sending you a one-way ticket. You're coming home to me right now. But what does a good dad do? Take a deep breath, sweetie. We're going to work this out together. We're going to find some help. I'm going to book a later flight. And tonight you'll be eating a sandwich in Florence. And we talked her through it. And that night, she was eating a beautiful mortadella, pistachio, and mozzarella sandwich. Where? In Florence. And right now, Father God is letting you know, take a deep breath. I'm going to mature you through this. There might be a detour, but tonight, you're going to be in Florence, eating a mortadella sandwich. That's what God is doing through the test. He's revealing, He's strengthening, and He is maturing you. And in the name of Jesus, I speak maturity over my journey family. Because what God has in store for this church cannot be embraced and stewarded by an immature church. What He has for your family cannot be carried by narrow shoulders. He will allow a test because the best that He has in store for you can only truly be experienced as a blessing. Come on, if you pass the test. Come on, you are passing this test. And if you believe that, put your hands together. Praise God. Oh, my time is done. You know, your time is up. Keyboard guy's been going for 6 minutes now, so we got to roll. Just two things and then we're done. It'll literally be 60 seconds. Number one, if you're in the room right now or watching online, I'm speaking to Boynton as well and to West Palm. If you over the last 35 minutes have felt God just whispering to you like you've never heard Him before, and you've had this strange sensation of God trying to get through to you, maybe for the first time, can I let you know that's what Christianity is? Christianity is simply the recognition that God loves you. He wants to do life with you. He wants you to do life with Him. And He's inviting you into a journey. So if you felt God knocking on your heart's door this morning, would you allow me to lead you in a simple prayer that heaven will hear? So with every eye closed, but every heart open in all of our campuses, just so I know who I'm leading in a prayer, if you felt God tapping on your heart's door, when I count to three, give me a wave where you are, and then you can put your hand down. If you want to say yes to Jesus this morning and make Him King, when I count to three, lift your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. Just lift your hand where you are. Give me a wave. You can put it down now. Let's pray this prayer out loud all together. In fact, we'll do it as a community, as an act of unity. Let's go. Dear Jesus, I open my heart to you. I surrender my life to you. I make you king. I repent. I turn from my own way. I turn your way. Thank you for the blood-stained cross. Thank you for the empty tomb. I'm yours today. Amen. Can you put your hands together for the people who lifted theirs? Wow, so cool. At the end of this gathering, you're going to have a pastor in every single room to help you with your next step. But especially if you're in this room here, I would love to give you a hug or a high five. So I'm going to be hanging out in the foyer later, and I would love to meet you if you said yes to Jesus today. Come on, one more time, put your hands together for them. So cool. Lastly, with every eye open and every head raised and everyone looking around in a judgmental manner, I always do that. Because the Bible says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there's nothing as humbling as saying, hey, that's me with people watching. And there are some people here today who are saying, whoa, God spoke to me today. And I hope and pray that you forget me within 30 minutes. But I pray for the next 30 years of your life, you'll remember that God met you this morning and let you know why he let you go through this testing season. So if that word was for you today, I'm just going to believe for amazing grace to flow into your life and that you would be able to take this truth and turn it into your reality. Is that cool? So if that word was for you today, and you've been through or you're going through a testing season, would you lift your hand high in the sky? Let everyone know, okay? So you're not alone. Keep them lifted. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we're claiming your word and your promise. You tell us that if we're proud, life gets really heavy. But if we're humble, we feel your amazing grace. So help my brothers and sisters here at Journey Church feel your amazing grace. And help us redeem by your Spirit this season of testing. Thank you for the revealing. Thank you for the strengthening. Thank you for the way you are growing us up and making us mature. In Jesus' name. And all the Journey family said, amen. Come on, praise him in this room.